ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सभी वेलकम ऑल द स्टूडेंट्स, स्पेशल गेस्ट्स, डिवोटीज, लेडीज एंड जेंटलमैन। I am indeed grateful to the organizing committee of this year's Janmashtami festival of the GMC for creating very wonderful, tasteful ambience for all of us to participate in this most auspicious ceremony. The actual Janmashtami ceremony we are going to celebrate a few days from today on the 7th of September. But because of the upcoming examination schedules, so we have decided to prepone it so that more number of students can participate and get the benefit. So today I'm going to speak briefly. I think that's okay. That was okay. Today I'm going to speak. Hare Krishna. Decrease the bass, increase treble. Very briefly on a very interesting topic. As far as spirituality for youth is concerned, so one aspect of spirituality of youth, spirituality, how is it relevant for the youth as of today, for doctors who are studying in this college? And that topic is going to be willpower. To excel. How to develop one's willpower to excel. This is going to be the topic for today's discussion, and then we'll have some few slides, few interesting stories of personalities who have achieved success in life. So basically we'll go through these three topics. Go ahead. First will be, I will explain to you some examples of personalities who have shown great willpower. Secondly, we will explore what is the source of such willpower. And thirdly, we will see how to develop such willpower. Right? So how many people here seated have a desire to increase their willpower? Raise their hands. So everyone. Right? So why do you want to increase your willpower? What is the reason that you want to increase willpower? Because as medical students, most of the time you are studying only about pill power. The power of the pill. Right? So are you interested in willpower or pill power? Both power. Okay. So why do you want to increase your willpower? What's your name? So Ronak, why you want to increase your willpower?
Sir, in today's world, the competition is very acute. So to remain in that competition, I want to increase my willpower.
To remain in the competition. To remain in the competition or to defeat the competition?
Defeat, actually.
To defeat competition. Okay. What else? Why you want to increase willpower?
To get success.
To get success. What is success?
To complete all my desires with determination.
To complete the degree?
Desires.
To complete the desires, okay. And? Go ahead, yeah?
And to get the ultimate goal.
To get the ultimate goal, okay. Fine. What else?
To get the more benefit of Sriji Bhakti.
To get more benefit of?
Sriji Bhakti.
Stages of Bhakti.
Sriji. Krishna.
Sriji. Jai Ho. So, that's a very esoteric, wonderful reason. Any other? Why do you find this topic relevant?
Sir, I want to increase my willpower because so that I can live a happy life and the stress I come in my life, I can defeat that stress.
Okay.
And the problems and difficulties that come in my life.
Okay. Anyone else? Would like to share why they want to increase their willpower?
Sir.
Yes.
So I want to increase my willpower because it's one of the part of your life and it will be very helpful for me throughout my life.
Okay. Yes.
So I want to increase my willpower because willpower is such a thing which benefits us and all our surroundings. So I want to make the surrounding people happy and I want to be happy myself also.
Okay. So thank you for all these wonderful reasons. So basically rest assured that everyone here is interested in increasing his willpower. So here are some interesting quotes on this subject as far as success and willpower is concerned. Number one, success is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Right? Interesting statement. Appears very inspiring but very difficult to practice. So, how many people here have experienced that they have expected certain marks but they have received less marks than what they expected? Anyone like that? Okay, no problem. Quite a few of you were quite honest. You're expressing this freely. It's a fact. So you expect a certain kind of result, but then something else happens. And then oftentimes we hear stories of students committing suicide. Even in GMC sometimes we hear stories of suicides. Sometimes suicides happen before exam itself. Sometimes during exam. Sometimes after exams. Sometimes after result. Why these suicides? Because fear of failure. And as soon as a person fails, okay, yeah, here is another pantomime show. As soon as there is a failure, then there is fear. What will people say, right? So success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. That is most difficult. Because you have put in all your effort, all your energy, and you are expecting something, and then you see something else has happened. So you lose enthusiasm. Next, mistake is only a mistake if we fail to learn from it. And thirdly, we cannot be successful unless we have the courage to fail. Yeah, please come. So these are some interesting quotes. And now we'll go on to the next part of our discussion, which is the first part, examples of willpower. So first of all, I would like to tell you that in these examples, we are discussing a series of personalities who have achieved a certain kind of result in their lives after a lot of grit, determination and enthusiasm. At the same time, we have to take inspiration from them in making that kind of a resolve in our own lives and then add another dimension to make our life completely successful. So a certain aspect is revealed through these personalities, but then there is another dimension which is not revealed through them. But if we add that dimension to that, then we get a whole complete picture of success. But even then, the kind of degree of success these personalities have achieved, because of that grit and determination and resolve. So there are three categories of people. The third class person is one, before he begins any endeavor, he becomes so overwhelmed by fear that he doesn't even want to start the work. He gives up the desire even to start because he is overwhelmed by fear about what will happen to the outcome. Second class starts the work, goes on for some time, then he finds himself in difficulty and then decides to give up. And first class person, he starts the work, continues, and in spite of difficulties, doesn't stop. Goes ahead and overcomes all obstacles and achieves success. So therefore, here we are discussing the first class category. People who did not say, let me give up. They said, let me fight and continue in spite of difficulties, in spite of all kinds of obstacles and ups and downs. First case, an interesting personality. He was doing a lot of research in inventing various kinds of machines. In fact, he was such a curious person that when he would visit any kind of an exhibition, he would be looking at things from different angles on how he can improve it. And specifically, he was looking at nature with a view of imitating these aspects of nature in terms of machines. He had a really curious mind. And once he had visited one such exhibition, and then they had a comments book. And while coming out, you had to write your comments, how you found this exhibition, how you found this part of the show and things like that. And then there was a last comment which said, interested in, you are interested in, and dash, you have to fill in what you are interested in. And this gentleman wrote everything. Interested in everything. Anything he would see, he would be interested how to develop machines out of it. And so he was on an experiment to develop a certain kind of gadget, and 8,000 experiments he tried out but failed. He couldn't get it right. So some of his other colleagues were asking, what is the point? Why are you spending so much of energy, so much of your time? This is all a useless waste. Give up. But he said, no. I do not think I have failed in my endeavor. All I can say that at least now I am aware of 8,000 ways which will not work. And therefore I will continue. At least I am confident there are 8,000 techniques which don't work. And therefore I am still enthusiastic. Can you imagine? If you fail in your MBBS exam 8,000 times, first of all, it will be very difficult for you to continue. Even if you have the determination, college will say, please spare us. Go ahead. Be merciful to us. Leave us. But just imagine, even if you fail one or two or three more times, what is the state of consciousness? Any small little failure, we get affected so much. And this person was so enthusiastic, he went ahead and was successful. And he could create the exact type of carbon he needed for developing a filament for an electric bulb. And who was this person? This personality's name is Thomas Alva Edison. The person who invented the electric bulb. And he is so famous now all over the world for creating this. But do not think, for us now it is so easy. Just go to the switch, switch on. Immediately there is light. But you should know, before things became so easy, there were so many difficulties he had to go through. For Edison himself, it was not that he could go and put on the switch and automatically it started. No. Therefore it takes time. and he did not give up. And therefore, one of his very famous quotes is, genius is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. Another beautiful story. There was a Scottish farmer who was in his fields, and he was trying to take care of his fields, and suddenly he heard the sound of a child crying out helplessly. And he was curious and went, and he found that there was a small boy who was caught in a quicksand. And this boy was being sucked inside by the mud, and he had both his hands up and he was crying out, "Help me, save me." So this Scottish farmer gave his hand, saved this child, brought him home. And next day in the morning, this child's father came. And the child's father was a British lord, a very aristocratic British lord. And he thanked this Scottish farmer and said, "You have saved my son's life. Thank you so much. I want to give a gift to you. I want to give some donation to you." And the Scottish farmer said, "I have done my duty. I do not need anything from you." This British lord, he saw that there was a small boy who was standing behind the Scottish farmer. And he looked at him and said, "Is that your son?" And the Scottish farmer said, "Yes, he is my son." So the British lord said, "Since you are not willing to accept any gift from me, at least give me this chance. Let me educate your son. Let me take your son, take him to the best possible schools in England, give him the highest class education, and then I will give him back to you. Allow me to educate your son." So the Scottish farmer said, "It's a reasonable proposal, no problem, take him." So this boy went to the best British schools, then he went to the Scottish church's very famous medical college, went on to become a world famous doctor, and he was the person who discovered the miracle drug penicillin. And all of you know more than me who this person is. Who was this? Now, the story doesn't end here. The British lord's son, who was originally saved from that quicksand, he developed a very severe type of disease, and that was not getting cured. And finally, this doctor, Fleming, he gave this penicillin to that boy again in his middle age, and he was cured. So he was saved the second time. First he was saved by the father, second time by the son. And this boy, this British lord's son who was saved, he went on to become one of the most famous prime ministers of England. And his name is Sir Winston Churchill. Now you can imagine the kind of setbacks he had in his life. Two near-death experiences. But still determined. And this was just one aspect of his personality. The other more important aspect is, he had a severe speech handicap from his childhood. He dreaded talking to people. He was paranoid of the thought that I am going to speak to people. In the United States, they took a poll. Which are the top three fears you have? At number three came fear of death. Number two fear was fear of losing girlfriend or boyfriend, some close loved one. And fear number one was fear of public speaking. And he had this fear to such an extent that when he would go to visit someone's house, he would take his hand near the doorbell and he would just keep that hand near the doorbell for a few seconds, thinking that if I ring the bell, and the door opens and the man comes, what will I speak? And his mind would go blank. And thinking like that, he would again bring his hand down. And then he would start pacing up and down in the street, thinking, should I go and ring the doorbell? Should I not? For half an hour he would be moving and walking in the street, and sometimes the police would catch him, thinking he's a thief, just roaming around on the streets. And this person who had such a fear of public speaking went on to become one of the most famous orators of all time, Winston Churchill. So you can imagine, with this kind of a background, going from failure to failure, but saying, no, I must succeed. Another very interesting example of an artist not getting any breaks anywhere, but somehow he was received by a publishing company which was interested in publishing some books on the Bible, gave him a break, gave him a small attic to stay. It was a dingy, dimly lit attic, and he would just spend his whole time making some caricatures of biblical characters. And then finally one day, he just saw some rats coming out of the hole. He just saw those rats and started drawing some pictures of that rat. And as soon as he saw those pictures, he liked it and gave those pictures for publishing. And those pictures of the rats became famous as Mickey Mouse. And this personality is Walt Disney, the very famous name, famous figure in entertainment. Very interesting personality. Now famous all over the world, but initially no breaks. A music group tried to start their record company. They couldn't do anything. They tried to push. Nobody was accepting their music. They went to the best kind of music record album companies, the HMV, the Columbia Records, all of them rejected. Finally, they got a breakthrough. They recorded an album and that became a super hit. And then from that time onwards, there was no looking back. One of the most famous, influential music groups in history, whose first few attempts to cut any album met with miserable failure, was the Beatles. So famous that when they would have their huge performances in stadium, people would come from all over. Lakhs of people would congregate at one place, and they would have to shift in battalions of policemen just to maintain law and order in the stadium. And they would have many, many ambulances, because when these people would just see these Beatles, they would swoon and faint because of that expectation. They could not control their emotions. That was the kind of hype they had created. Another very famous personality, musician also, he tried his level best to learn some music. His music teacher said, we grade you C. We cannot give you a higher grade than C. It's impossible for you to get anything beyond this because you do not have the stuff in you. But this personality went on to become the king of rock music, Elvis Presley. A student in high school tried to represent all the students in the students' union, then in the students' council in college, but the feedback was given that you do not have sufficient administration skills. You do not have enough skills to manage, and therefore rejected. And therefore this person, he could not get any post as a student at all, but went on to become the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. A very famous businessman, first three business ventures completely failed and flopped, went bankrupt, didn't give up, tried again, started the most famous Ford Motor Company, Henry Ford. You must have heard of Henry Ford. Very famous. But first three endeavors, disasters. Totally bankrupt. Didn't get anything. A very famous movie character. He wanted to get admission at UCLA and wanted to learn filmmaking. But he tried his best to get admission. He was rejected and they said, not good enough. Mediocre grades in high school cannot admit you. So his dream and aspiration was to learn filmmaking at UCLA. Could not get in. But then didn't give up. Learned filmmaking on his own. And now he is one of the most famous characters, Steven Spielberg. All of you must have heard or seen some of his works. And you can understand what kind of a talent he had, but initial attempts failure. Very famous basketball star could not even get admission in the school team, but went on to become one of the superstars, most loved characters in sports today, Michael Jordan. There was a student in business school. He was making his presentation for his master's in business administration. And as part of their business project, they had to make a presentation for a feasible business plan. And this person gave a certain presentation. And the professor said, not good enough. Not good enough. It will not work. Your business plan is such that it is definitely going to make a loss. It won't make sense with anyone. Forget it. Said, no, I won't give it up. I will try. So although the university professor rejected it, didn't give him a chance at all, he still went and tried. Went on to become one of the most successful courier companies, which is still famous as Federal Express, FedEx. And the personality is Fred Smith. A very beautiful model. She wanted to be an actress. Tried out a few breaks, but the producers rejected her. The director rejected her. Even someone said, not beautiful enough. But she didn't take this to heart. Went ahead, tried a few more times, made it big. Very famous actress, Marilyn Monroe. She went on to become heartthrob of millions all over the world. And last but not the least, a very famous personality. All of you know him very well. When he was only 5 years old, he received notes from his teachers at school that this young boy is dumb. He can't understand things properly. We recommend homeschooling. Please take him home. Right? Some of us would have preferred to get this kind of a note. Stay at home and study. Only your mother can teach you. So this fellow, this boy, he would just spend most of the time putting his head on his hands and sleep as the teacher would give class. So the teacher got fed up and said, take this boy away. And this boy who received a note from his teacher that he's dumb is famous all over the world as the most famous scientist, Albert Einstein. So can you imagine? He received a note saying this fellow is dumb, cannot understand. But the fact of the matter was he was super intelligent. And why he would sleep most of the time in class was, he found what the teacher is teaching he already knows. And he was finding it boring. Therefore he was sleeping. So there is a famous story that once he just got up from his sleep and he saw a few problems on the board. He immediately noted it down. He found them interesting, noted it down, next day brought them and submitted to the teacher. And he said, "You always complain, I never submit my homework on time, just see, I've done it." And the teacher said, "What, you solved those problems I gave in class yesterday?" He said, "Yes, that was homework, no?" She said, "No, those problems were the most difficult unsolved problems in physics in history, which he solved and brought next day, thinking it is homework." So that is the level of his genius. But initially, all the teachers in school said, "Stupid, can't do anything." So therefore, these are just a few examples to illustrate. All of these great personalities have had challenges in life. No one can lead a life without challenge. And if you have to excel, there will be difficulties. But the common factor amongst all of them was, when they faced these difficult situations, when they faced what is apparently seen as a failure, they didn't give up. They tried, tried, and tried again, and ultimately went on to become successful. Therefore, this brings us to the second most important issue, is in spite of facing so many difficulties and obstacles, how could they continue? What was the source of their willpower? Where did they get so much of strength? Because as soon as a person receives some information, some news that certain plan has failed, we become morose and depressed and distressed. So here are personalities who are facing difficulty after difficulty, but still went on. So therefore here we have what is known as the definition of willpower. And willpower is defined as strength of the mind. Willpower is also defined as self-discipline or self-control. Therefore the source of all of this willpower is basically one's mind. One's mind is the source of this willpower. And this principle has to be understood very clearly. So we are aware of all different types of systems, but have we understood our own system? Have we understood how our own body and mind function? So within the body, we have what is known as a mind, a repository which we use for thinking, feeling and willing. So people say, can we see the mind? We cannot see the mind, but we can experience its presence. That is the most important principle. And because of the mind, all kinds of difficulties arise. Because we have not understood what this mind is. Therefore, the mind is a very, very powerful part of the body, but it is subtle in nature. And just like all of you are going into deep depths, understanding every aspect of how this body is functioning, there are literatures which are available which describe in great detail how the mind functions. So unless you are aware, you cannot control. So now this fan is moving. Now unless you know where the knob or the switch is to switch off this fan, you cannot do anything to stop its rotation. Right? Now suppose I ask you, this fan is rotating this way and that way. I want to stop its rotation. What should I do? And someone says, "I think, sir, if we come and pull your ear, then this will stop." That is what we feel. The connection is here. So this may be a reply, which is pretty vague. What is the connection? So if you come and pull my ear, I may start shouting, but nothing will happen to this. Someone else says, if you play the mridang, this will stop. Play the mridang loudly, this may stop. Or someone else comes and says, okay, you will shout Hare Krishna in the mic, it will stop. So these are all different ridiculous reasons, ridiculous ways. But then there is a knob, which is right there. And unless you know it, you cannot control it. Similarly, because we are aware that where the knob is, so we are totally at ease how to control its movement. As far as the mind is concerned, we have practically no idea. As doctors, you become aware for so many years what exactly is going on within the body. So people question, what is the principle behind organizing such programs? What is the logic behind organizing such programs? Why so many people are invited? Why I have to speak for so long? Why don't you do something practical? Why don't you do some welfare activity? What help are these lectures going to make? What difference they are going to make in people's lives? So my question is, all of you are medical students. So as medical students, 4.5 years you are spending doing what? You are attending classes, sitting and hearing lectures. So if someone just enters into the classroom and starts shouting, why all of you medical students wasting your time sitting here and listening to all these lectures? There are so many patients in the wards. Have you gone and seen in the OPD? Such a big line. Come on, get out of this class, run there. Take care of the patients. And all the first year boys run, wearing white coats, to take care of the patients who are at the OPD. Right? As soon as the patients come to know that this person who has just come is a first year boy, who has come out of college, classroom, after hearing an inspirational talk from someone, so can you imagine what will be his state? As soon as you introduce, I am a first year boy MBBS, now I have some knowledge of anatomy, I have pretty good idea, no problem. So what is your problem, sir? And the patient will say, no problem. I have no problem at all. No, no, you can be free. Please tell me what problem. No, my only problem is you are sitting here. Why are you sitting here? Why not someone with a degree? So what is the difference between a raw, fresh medical student and a doctor? One has learned, got the experience, understood what this body is, how this body functions. So unless you have knowledge, how can you control? It's not possible. Therefore, in every field we need specialists who understand what exactly is the system you are dealing with? What kind of controls you have to exercise? And how to do it? So these are very, very important topics. And therefore we are a group of people who are dealing with most sophisticated electronic equipments and gadgets. Right? People in industry know how to use the latest state-of-the-art laptops and computer systems, latest mobile phones, latest VCD players, MP3 players, jukeboxes, all those systems, people have complete information how to deal with them, right? But when it comes to one's own system, what is happening to one's own system? People are not aware. So if you have a stomach ache, you know what to do. If you have a headache, you know what to do. If your back is paining or your muscle is paining, you know what to do. All of you are getting trained for 4.5 years to understand these principles. If any part of the body conks off, or there is some trouble, some problem, some mishap, some disaster, what to do? 4.5 years training you are receiving just to do troubleshooting with respect to any part of the body. So generally for 4.5 years, all of you study the whole body. Then after that you go into PG. Then you decide to study only that one part of the body. Then you do post-PG. Then you go beyond that and you say, no, only on the right side. Right hand, this finger. Or right ear, this part. Super specialization. That means fine-tuning. Only that part you are studying for what? To solve the problem. So there are professions where you are specializing completely in solving problems related to the body. But then, when the mind is diseased, the mind is distressed, in anxiety, in difficulty, fear, at that time what pill do you take? What do you do? Are you aware of any way by which you can solve the problems related to the mind? Therefore, in modern times, there is a lack of information regarding the mind and how to deal with the mind. And so, we are conducting these kind of seminars and classes to educate people about the importance of controlling one's mind. Understand what the mind is, understand how to deal with the mind, and then control it. And once you develop the ability to control your own mind, and it will become very easy to focus all your energies. Therefore, if you are dealing with a heart problem, first of all you should know where the heart is, and then how to control it, how to cure diseases related to it. If you are dealing with the mind, you should know where the mind is, and how to deal with the mind. So just like doctors are going through a systematic study pattern to deal with the body, the problems related to the body and solutions related to body, similarly there is a complete systematic study available about the mind also. What the mind is, how to deal with the problems, why those problems connected to the mind occur in the first place, and how to do problem solving. How to cure these diseases related to the mind. So therefore, all of you have read this book, Principles of Internal Medicine, right? Principles of Internal Medicine you have? In some part of your MBBS career? So I would say that Bhagavad Gita is one such literature. It deals with the principles of internal medicine. It deals with the principles of dealing with the diseases of the mind and the soul. Therefore, this aspect of the source of willpower has to be understood. The source of willpower is the mind. And unless we have a detailed information about what the mind is, we cannot control. It is impossible. Just like I tell this story of a madman. There was this crazy gentleman and he wanted to go to the river. So he asked someone, okay, what is the way to go to the river? And this man said, you go by this road which is next to the tree. You go up this road next to that tree and you will reach the river. So he was a madman anyway. So he couldn't figure out exactly what was spoken. So he started walking. And as he came to this tree, he started thinking, what was that instruction I got? So the instruction was to go up the road by the tree. But he thought otherwise. And he said the instruction was to go up the tree by the road. So he started climbing up the tree. So he climbed up the tree, came to the very top. And he was right on the top of the tree, the branch came down, bent. And within moments, our mad friend was hanging from the top of this tree. with his two hands, holding on to that branch for his dear life, and his two legs dangling. And he was crying out, "Help me, help me." Nothing could be done. So at that time, from near the river, an elephant came by. And on this elephant was an elephant driver. And he was seated on this elephant. And he came right across this tree and came right underneath this man. And as this man saw this elephant driver, he started shouting, "Hey, save me, man, save me. I'm going to fall down and break my leg." So this elephant driver decided, "Okay, let me save him." So he took his both hands, caught hold of this man's legs. But as he caught hold of his legs, the elephant did not stop. Elephant kept moving. So what happened was, the elephant went ahead. The first man is hanging from the tree and the second man is hanging from his legs. So rather than solving the problem, it compounded the problem. And this fellow shouted that, "Now I have to carry your weight also. What are you doing?" He said, "Okay, relax, don't worry. We'll think of a way." So there is a village nearby, so let us sing some song. And if the villagers hear some nice music, they will become attracted and they will come here, you know. He said, "Okay, you sing a song." So this elephant driver, you know, he was very interested in singing. And singers, as soon as they get any chance, they don't miss it. They start. Singers and poets have this special characteristic. They are looking for audience. As soon as few people, whether you are interested or not, they start. So this fellow started singing. And as he started singing some nice tune, some nice melody, our gentleman on top who was hanging started thinking, such a nice raga he is singing, but there is no taal at all. Nobody is giving taal, and therefore he will not be able to sing properly. Okay, let me assist him by giving some taal. And thinking like that, he took off his hands to give taal. So you know what happened? This is what happens when you take shelter of your mind, which is uncontrolled, unpredictable. Its behavior is unpredictable, and it will ultimately make you fall. Uncontrolled mind cannot be trusted, drags us down. And therefore, we have to understand what is the necessity to control our mind. And that is the third part. So third part is how to control our mind. How to develop this willpower? And basically there are two methods. One is by developing the proper techniques, and the second is developing proper qualities. So techniques. Number one, what are the techniques? For anything you need techniques, right? You need training, right? Can anyone become a surgeon in one day? No. You need practice. Otherwise, how is it possible? So first aspect is techniques. So if you are dealing with the mind, and if you want to know how to control the mind, then you have to develop this technique for mind control. That is the first principle. So certain techniques are available for understanding mind control. Okay? That means, if you have to do that, can you imagine the first day you started riding bicycle? How many people here just sat on a bicycle and started pedaling, zoom, 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 and started going at full speed day one? Any genius here who did that? That first day you started, you sat on the bicycle and started off. Right? You all ride bicycle, right? Or nowadays directly they start mobike only. First bicycle. So many times trying and falling. And again you try. First day you are taken to your room where they keep all dead bodies. What do they call that room? Dissection hall. How many of you felt ecstasy? How many of you felt perfectly normal, no problem? So as soon as you go and see, so many people become scared. I know of cases who have even left medical college just after one visit, just one darshan of dissection hall, right? Of all those dead bodies, it's a scary sight. When you see first time, and the smell and all of that put together creates so much of confusion. But then over a period of time, you get used to it. It's part of life, right? People can even have some romantic exchanges over dead bodies after some time because they become so conditioned to it. So this is, as far as any system is concerned, you need exposure. So mind control also, first of all you understand what the mind is and then you develop techniques to control the mind. And that is secondly, the exercise for the mind. Developing exercises for the mind. Right. Now if somebody is very thin and lean, and he wants to become muscular, strong, powerful, healthy, as doctors, what do you recommend? Right? What? Exercise. How many people here visit the gym? Anyone here who visits the gym? You know what a gym is? You have a gym in your hostel? Huh? You don't have inside campus? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So, generally in colleges and hostels you have gym where people go and do their bodybuilding, right? So, when you go there, what is the purpose? To keep the body fit. Some kind of exercise. So some kind of exercise is recommended to keep the body fit. If you don't do that exercise, then it is so difficult to keep the body fit. So generally it is recommended. So when you talk of mind, if you want to keep the mind fit, don't you think it's important to have a regular exercise to keep the mind fit? So regular exercise to keep the mind fit is known as meditation. And that is the third part. Regular exercises for the mind is known as meditation. So don't you think the mind requires a regular exercise to keep it trim and fit? Yes. Because you go on eating more and more and more and do not exercise at all, then your weight goes on increasing. And then you are accumulating unnecessary fat. Similarly, if the mind is not regularly exercised, it accumulates unnecessary thoughts, unnecessary garbage. And therefore, you need to keep it fit and trim. It's very important. Otherwise, the same mind will drive you crazy. And it so happens that if you're not very careful, the same mind with whom you're dealing with daily lead you to such a situation that you can't control it. And we have the example of the most famous personality in Mahabharata, Arjun. Have you heard of Arjun? So Arjun was famous of all the five Pandavas. Right? Arjuna is most famous amongst all the Pandavas. Duryodhan is also famous. But how many people keep their son's name Duryodhan? How many of you would like to keep your son's name in future as Duryodhan? Anyone here in this room has a desire like that? That in future, ek beta ho Duryodhan. Life ban jayega. Kya pyara naam hai? Duryodhan. Usko main prem se Durru bulaunga. Anyone feeling like that? Or Dushyasan? So what a dynamic guy, Dushyasan. So why you do not have that feeling towards Duryodhan and Dushyasan? Why Arjuna is considered a hero? There was a great difference between the two. As far as skills are concerned, both were expert. Very dynamic. Able administrators, politicians, rich, good looking. Duryodhan was very handsome, very good looking, very attractive, very dynamic in his administration. So as far as people are concerned, they were very happy with Duryodhan as far as his skills. But what is the difference? Arjuna did something extra which Duryodhan did not do. And what is that little extra? On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna is in a situation where he has everything in life, but still suddenly he is feeling morose and depressed. And all of us have come to this medical college to gain skills. All of you want to be expert doctors. You want to be the best doctor in the world. Some of you want to be the best eye specialist, ear specialist, neurosurgeons, this, that, so many specialties, you want to be the best, right? And therefore you have come to GMC. Arjuna had gone to his institute and he had learned archery. Arjuna was an archer, a military man. And Arjuna had learned all of his skills from Dronacharya. Arjuna had gone to the Dronacharya's institute and he had passed out with flying colors, first attempt. No KTs. Right? Arjuna was successful all through. And not only he was just a graduate, he was postgraduate. And he was in fact like a PhD, because there were certain skills only Arjuna was taught by Dronacharya. Dronacharya once jumped into a lake and there was a crocodile which caught him. And this was a test he wanted to take. So as soon as he jumped into the lake and the crocodile caught him, Dronacharya cried out, "Save me, save me, save me!" And all these Kauravas, they took their bow and arrow and they started taking aim. But they felt, if we release the arrow, we don't know who will get killed, the crocodile or Dronacharya. So none of them had the guts. So they took the aim, but couldn't have that confidence, so they left. Only Arjuna had so much confidence, he shot the arrow, it went straight between the jaws of the crocodile, released Dronacharya. That was the extent of his skill. Dronacharya was so happy, he said, "I will teach you further skills." So Arjuna was like an A-class, top-level student with high honors from Dronacharya's institute, which was the most prestigious college at that time in the whole world. The highest education Arjuna had received. And he was a military archer beyond any compare, defeated all opposition throughout his whole life. Never faced any problems in his life. Defeated all opposition. Every single operation successful. Arjuna, his every operation, Arjuna's operation theater was what? Battlefield. That was his operation theater. Every patient Arjuna met, killed them. From a doctor's point of view, that's a failure. But from the point of view of an archer, great success. Never Arjuna was defeated. Never tasted defeat. Always victorious, always successful. Can you imagine? Simply by hearing that Arjuna is coming, many warriors would flee. They would retire. And this same Arjuna was here on this battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna had earned so much of wealth, he was known as Dhananjay. He had wealth, he had prestige, he had success, he had skills. Everything a normal person can dream of. And with all of this, what would you want? A good wife. And who had Arjuna as his wife? Draupadi, who was Miss Universe, the most beautiful lady in the whole universe, right? At that time. Everything anyone can desire in life, Arjuna had. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he is sitting on this chariot, and suddenly he goes into a depression. The Gandiva is there, but Arjuna forgets to use the Gandiva. His limbs are quivering and he throws the Gandiva down on the ground. And he tells Krishna, I can't fight. Too difficult for me. So can you imagine the most famous surgeon, the most successful surgeon who has always had the best kinds of operations, and he enters into the operation theater and starts telling the nurse that I am feeling nervous. I don't know exactly how to perform this operation. So what will you say? Arjuna has been fighting every day. Every aspect of his life has been centered around his profession as a soldier. So it was a typical day in office for Arjuna. Just like people go to office, for Arjuna it is battlefield. Battlefield is Arjuna's office. It was a typical day in office for Arjuna, and suddenly Arjuna felt, no, today I can't function. That is what all our minds are going to do, today or tomorrow. And when it does like that, we should be ready to face the reality and deal with it. Therefore, the art of mind control is very essential. So hence, meditation is a technique by which the entire process of controlling the mind becomes very clear. How to control the mind? Using techniques of meditation. So this is mantra yoga. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a chant which controls the mind, which destroys all the doubts and fears within the mind. And this is a very, very important, significant principle. And hence Krishna spoke Gita. So what Arjuna will do? He has the best equipment available, best skills, the best track record, the best, most latest, most sophisticated chariot, the highest contacts, Krishna personally sitting there. All he has to do is fight. But if mind says, sorry, no mood, forget it, what can you do? Therefore you have come here to GMC to learn skills, so you will get the best skills. You will be successful in your career, you will earn money, but one day the mind will suddenly revolt and it will switch off. That is how the mind will be. So therefore, in such situation, what do you do? So now we come to the second part, and that is, along with these techniques, we also need to develop the right kind of internal qualities, the right attitude, the right vision, sincerity, and fourthly, dedication. And Krishna spoke 1 hour to Arjuna, 700 shlokas. And these 700 shlokas spoken by Krishna to Arjuna are famous as Bhagavad Gita. And most people think that Bhagavad Gita is some vague Hindu literature which is to be opened only after the age of 65-70, when you cannot see anything with your eyes, when you can hardly hear anything, and you can't sleep at night also. So good way of going to sleep is open this Gita. It helps you sleep fast. Or people say ki all of these are mythological stories, nana nani ki kahani. But actually speaking, these are techniques given in this Bhagavad Gita to deal with our mind. How to control the mind. How to focus the mind. And how to develop the right attitude. Krishna spoke to Arjuna. The right vision. What should be your vision in life? Why you are not feeling that inspiration to fight, O Arjuna? Do you realize, do you understand what is the goal of your life? Have the right vision. Have the right attitude. Because failures are anyway going to come. We cannot avoid it. But your attitude is very, very important. Right? So the way you look at things is very important because certain situations are beyond your control. You cannot do anything about it. We just have to accept things and then go on with life. And this is a very, very important principle. Like yesterday I was giving a talk at one of these colleges in Bombay, Jai Hind College. And I was giving an example that a father was teaching his son mathematics. And he was teaching his son, okay beta, now I'll teach you maths, 9 into 8 is equal to how much, say? And the son said, 9 into 8 is, papa, 78. And father said, great, very good, take this laddu. And gave him a sweet, patted him on the back. And the father's friend was sitting nearby and he was saying, my God, what kind of maths are you teaching? This is maths from which generation? Which new branch of maths has started? 9 into 8 is 78, 9 into 8 is 72. What you are teaching your son? And you are rewarding him for this also. And the father said, what to do? Yesterday I asked him 9 into 8, he said 88. At least today he has come to 78. If he continues like this in a 1 or 2 days, he will come to 72. At least he is on the right track. At this stage when he is giving this answer, I have two choices. Either I tolerate, I give a slap. Tell him nonsense. You can't understand such a simple thing. What can I do? Certain situations are like that. You cannot avoid. You have no control over it. You have to tolerate. And therefore, having the right attitude is most important. And you can only have the right attitude when you have the right vision. What is the goal of my life? You must know. Have you ever taken any step in life without thinking where you are going? Right? Suppose you just get up. Get up. Yeah. Okay. Now as soon as you get up and I say you have to go. So are you aware where you are going? Now you have to go. I say, okay, all of us agree. What's your name? Kamal. Navnath. Navnath should go from here. Should he go? No, no, you should say yes. That's what our game is. Should he go? Yeah, so they are saying you should go. Okay? So now, have you decided where to go? Hostel, okay. Very good. That was the answer I was looking for. So at least it's clear. I thought you will say temple. So you know, he has a clear-cut idea where he is going. And even while lecture is going on, some of you must already be thinking, I should be going. You already know where to go. The destination is very clear. We never take a step in life without knowing where we are going next. As soon as you get up now, you know where I am going. Okay, straight, prasadam. And from there, chapel stall. From there, straight to room. And send few more friends. Right? So you know exactly where you are going, one after the other. Now suppose, son gets up and walks out of the house, and mother asks the son, okay, where you are going, beta? And the son says, I don't know. But which direction are you going? I don't know. But why you are going? I have to think about it. So mother will get scared. Say, please, someone should follow this fellow. He doesn't know where he is going. Right? If class is going on, your professor in class is giving lecture, suddenly you get up. Professor, what happened? I don't know. Where you are going? I don't know. And you start walking. Professor will also walk behind you to find out where you are going. Because every moment we are taking steps in life knowing where we are going. But only thing is, as far as our journey in our own life is concerned, we have no idea. Right? We have no vision where I am going. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita gives Arjuna the vision. And then, we must have the sincerity and dedication. All these principles are very, very important. So just imagine, all ingredients are there, but the mind is not functioning properly. The person, in spite of all his skills, all his expertise, all his background, is helpless. Right? If an employee takes leave from office for 2 weeks, doesn't come, and then reports, and the boss says, where were you? Kya ho gaya, aaye nahi do hafte se office mein? Sir, sar dard tha. Bola, theek hai bhai. Sir, pet dard tha. Bola, theek hai. Haath fracture ho gaya tha. Theek hai. Pair fracture ho gaya. Theek hai. Thoda dimag kharab ho gaya tha. If you hear this reason, jyada nahi, thoda. Abhi theek hai, abhi line pe. Abhi main utpatang utha ke phekta nahi hu, abhi theek hai, control mein aa gaya. Jhapad marna band kar diya maine. Baki sab theek hai, aise kuch problem nahi. So do you think that person will be accepted immediately? Pet kharab hai, theek hai, pair theek hai. Thoda dimag kharab ho gaya. Immediately. So just imagine, we are dealing with uncontrolled minds. And that uncontrolled mind can drive anyone crazy anytime. And therefore, we need these techniques to control and focus the mind. And that's what we are teaching here. So at this stage, I request one of our special guests here, His Grace Kirtiraj Prabhu, who is coming from the land of United States. He's from LA. Son of a very advanced devotee of Srila Prabhupada, Narnarayan Prabhu. And I would request him to share some of his experiences of life in USA and what he has seen in terms of what we have described today and what advice he has for medical students here in India in the JJ campus. So we present before you Kirtiraj Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharanini Vishesha Shunya Varipasthatya Hare Satarani. Vansha Kaupati Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patita Naam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakti Vinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gaurang Prabhu. So, thank you for all of you coming and giving me an opportunity to speak, try and share something about America. I understand a lot of people want to go to America.
How many here want to go? Now some tickets are available here at discount rate. How many? Okay, a few of them. Okay, no problem.
Okay, so
there are many more, don't worry. They're not raising hand.
I like the analogy he gave of how medical students are trained how to cure diseases of the body. But there's a lecture by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada about where are the colleges for curing the social body? What are the disease? What is the disease of the social body? So we can understand, or basically, what are the symptoms of the disease of the social body is on so many levels. And in America, I can see so many examples. And globally, like on the global level, we can see there's ozone depletion. And basically, the disease is materialism. And it's not like unheard of, or it's not just some theory, or only spiritualists talk about it. It's common. Everybody in America knows if materialism is actually a problem. What do they call it? Consumerism. Consumerism is basically materialism. It's the constant buying of goods, working and buying goods. So this is what America, this is what America is about, basically, is materialism or consumerism, and also known as the American dream. The American dream is, you know, basically described as having your own car, having your own facilities, and all these things. So what is that? That's consumerism. So anyway, so we can see globally there's problems, also on an individual level. Like you hear so many statistics of suicide and crime and all these things. But whenever we've heard so many statistics, it's certain, you know, there's no like real impact. If we hear of like a couple people die. Somebody said this. They said, if a few people die, it's a tragedy. If hundreds of people die, then it's a statistic. Like, oh, okay, so what? That's just some numbers and paper. But I've actually had personal experience in America. Actually, when I went back recently, I had found out that one of my good friends that was like the most popular in school, he had like the most beautiful girlfriend, he had a nice car, everything, very nice facility. I heard that he actually had tried to commit suicide. I was completely shocked. I was like, this person who I thought was like practically the most successful one of my friends, how is this possible? And I talked to him further, and later I found out that actually he'd been so successful at all these things, but it was, he was feeling empty inside, that it was all a show. It was, he thought that these things would make him happy, so he put all of his energy into getting money and getting, working out at the gym and getting a nice girlfriend and all these things, but he wasn't happy. So that was my own personal example, I mean experience of it. And I've had many other friends that their parents are politicians and they have so much land and whatever they want, their parents will just give them a car and all these things. And they end up, I have one friend named, I won't give his name, but he ended up just, he had all facility, but still it like made him even more crazy because he didn't have knowledge of something other than materialism or trying to be happy through the senses. So he's in jail now. Or he's, anyway, I don't know where he's at right now, but he went through jail a couple times and different things for drugs and stealing. And just, you know, once you have everything you need, you want something else to enjoy. So for him, stealing was even more of a thrill. Or doing something, you know, because it just keeps adding up more and more and more. So, essentially, my warning, or, yeah, I'm not trying to discourage you all to not go to America, but I just should inform you that America is a place where materially it's nice. I mean, the streets are clean, the homes are beautiful and more spacious and everything like that. But be clear, that's all you're going to get. Like, you won't get any internal satisfaction or happiness or knowledge on, you know, what is the purpose of your life? You know, how will I fulfill my relationships with my family? There's so many, you know, like, I know probably 2 out of 15 of my friends' parents are still together. A lot of them have gotten divorced. So many different things. And, yeah, so it's all, this is because they don't have knowledge of the spirit soul, of what is actually the cause of all these problems. So these are just symptoms of the social disease, right? Ignorance. And what is the cure? There's many people who are aware of the problems of ozone depletion and deforestation, global warming, suicides, and all these things, family relationships. They have marriage counselors and drugs. If you have some mental problem, take this drug. Oh, you have this problem, take this drug. You have this problem, take this drug. They don't say, oh, maybe you should look at what are your values in life and what is your purpose in life. No, they say, oh, here, take this drug. I have personal experience of my friends saying how easy it is to go to a doctor and say, oh, I have this problem, and they just give you something. I was like, my gosh, that's scary. So the cure isn't a material cure. It's not that if we have solar energy and different things like that and stop cutting down all the trees and things, that it will cure the problem, because the problem is on the consciousness level. We just learned about how to control the mind. So acting on the level of consciousness is actually the cure. But America, there's no such information. So you're very fortunate to be here in India, where materialism hasn't completely wiped out a sense of purpose in life, of something beyond materialism. In America, that's like all the information we get, is how to become the best at this, how to get the most money, how to do this. So you're very fortunate that you still have an opportunity to be educated in the most important part of life, is acting on the level of consciousness, controlling our mind. Because everything we see around us is the result of a conscious being acting upon matter. That's why the world is in the condition it is because of the consciousness of people. You can judge an activity. You can judge somebody's consciousness by looking at their activity. So in America, there's many examples. I won't go into too many. I'm going to speak for a short time. So acting on the level of consciousness. So in India, you're very fortunate that you haven't been totally bedazzled by the glitter of materialism. That's one thing. I didn't come to India to enjoy materialism, because obviously India, in terms of like streets and situations like that, it's dirty and unorganized and things like that, which I see is actually a blessing. Some people may say it's a curse, oh, we're an undeveloped country, but it's actually a blessing, because then it gets people to understand that there's something more than just material. If you have a spiritual inquiry, then you can see the reality of life by seeing that material nature is temporary. And India, I feel, eventually, even though it's trying to improve on a material level, there's still so much background of unorganization and neglect of religious principles that it'll never catch up to speed with America. So this is a blessing. So spiritual solution for the social body is the cure. And there's so many spiritual solutions that people go to. I mean, there's so many so-called religions, or there's bona fide religions. But why are you so fortunate to have these programs going on here in Bombay that ISKCON is providing? In my experience in America, there's many different spiritual organizations. But from each one, I've come across problems. Like some religions, I won't like blasphemy the religion because they're bona fide, but the people that are practicing and the difficulty in accessing the pure teachings of it is very difficult for some people. Like some are just blindly following. They have some faith that if I just accept this philosophy, there's no practical application. Then I will be again salvation. But they sin on their regular life. They do so many things. They go to church one day and pray, and then the rest of their life they do all sorts of abominable things. So that's not actually practical. So there's that, and then there's other religions where they just fight each other. Like, that's the religion, is fighting. If I defeat your God, then that's all I, you know, my dharma is fulfilled. There's no actually development of pure love of God. So that's what is nice, and you're very fortunate to have that facility where the highest teaching is being taught in the most sublime method. It's practical. Like, also other philosophies, like, we just join into an energy. It's like, what's the practicality? I'm supposed to meditate on some white light, but that won't give me food and shelter and different things. So, in Krishna consciousness, it's so practical and sublime. Your eating is spiritual, your talking is spiritual, your working is spiritual. Everything is actually practical and can apply to us. We can adopt it immediately. And it's the highest. You understand the highest philosophy. So your head is in the clouds and your feet are on the ground. Both is there. So you're very fortunate. And I'm praying that I can stay here as long as possible. Actually, I asked my father if I can stay here in Bombay, because we have a family business in America, and he wants us to work. I have 6 other brothers and sisters, and he wants us all to work with the family business. And now here I am in India, getting spiritual training. Of course, he's been a devotee, practicing devotee for 30 years. And he's never encouraged me to join an ashram or something. He says, practice at home, you know, be in the family business. You can practice spiritual life at home and work. That's fine. So he's never encouraged me to join a temple. But when I asked him if I could stay here for 2 years, he said, this is probably your only chance in this life to get such an opportunity. And he's been in ISKCON for 30 years. So to hear this, I was very, like, amazed. He said, you have all my blessings. I encourage you, please stay as long as you can. Because the training, the resources you have here at Radha Gopinath Mandir with these devotees, exceptional devotees, is one of a kind. You'll never get this opportunity again. So that's why I'm staying here. I've been here for off and on for about 1.5 years. Because I can understand from my father and other devotees what a great resource it is to have this kind of training here with the devotees at Radha Gopinath. So I'm just very fortunate to be here, and you are very fortunate to be here, and I'm very grateful that all of you have come, and I appreciate you listening to what I have to share. Thank you.
Hare Thank Krishna. You. So, just before the next program begins, we have a book here, and today's discussion, whatever we had, all the contents are there in this book. This is known as Checkmate, Vedic Alternatives for Youth. So various topics are discussed in this book. Like, for example, we have the first lecture, Breaking Free of Bonds, Power of Habits, Failure as a Stepping Stone to Success, Conflict Resolution. So you can go through this book. These are on display outside, and you can purchase them if you like. All these topics are very, very interesting. So thank you very much. At this stage, we have the next program. It is a kind of a discussion about how the mind is so difficult to control. As we discussed today, techniques are required to control the mind, but the mind is not so easy to control, and the mind will create various kinds of difficulties and problems. So what difficulties one encounters in controlling one's mind, we will see as part of this pantomime show, which is put up by the devotees here with great practice. So I would like to thank all the organizers.